Praise them that do them. Amen. As we bring Romans chapter 1 to a close and God is revealing our need for salvation, we come to find out, since the fall, what pleases us, what pleases man versus what pleases God are these 28 things that really are, what the scripture says, not convenient. And I want to jot some of these down. So just follow me during this introduction. What's going on is this is the fulfillment of what you see in verse 18. Let's read verse 18. It says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of man." This is very huge. "Who hold the truth in unrighteousness." Since the fall, we hold the truth of God in unrighteousness, and not just who we hold it in unrighteousness, we are pleased with doing so. We are pleased with doing so. When we fell, when Adam ate in Genesis 3 and 6, we had an instant appetite change. Instantly, our appetite changed to what pleases God. We started pleasing ourselves and became more and more consumed with holding the truth and unrighteousness, which is why the wrath of God is being revealed against all ungodliness and all unrighteousness. But let's jot down some of the things to prove that we do what? Hold the truth and unrighteousness. Amen? Now, a big deal about this is, In this part of Romans, what we want to recognize and understand is, am I right? And it's just, I'm about to say it, Jeremy. It's not as appropriate as Jeremy is. His writing is. But we want proof that what? We have need for salvation. Romans lets us know why we need salvation. That God provides salvation, and that salvation is free for all. So now we want to just jot down a couple of things. Somebody do me a favor. Read verse 19 for me. Can I ask who could be real loud? Brother Mike.
"Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath shown it unto them."
So we got that which may be known
of God.
Amen.
Manifest in them.
Mm-hmm. That which may be known of God, we hold it in unrighteousness. Brother Jeremy, do me a favor. Can you read verse 20 for me, please?
Verse 20.
Yes.
"For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are
without excuse." Amen. Brother Mike, how about verse 21?
"Because that, when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened."
Wow. Brother Jeremy, 24, please.
"Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness, to the lust of their own heart, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves."
Wow. Do we see us holding truth and unrighteousness? It was manifest. God made it known to us. The invisible things of Him are clearly seen. But in verse 24, through the lust of our own hearts, we hold the truth and unrighteousness. Verse 25, Mike.
who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen.
What did he do in verse 25? We changed the truth of God into a what? Is that holding the truth in unrighteousness? Amen. Amen. And this is important, so bear with me another minute. This is important because what we want to do, we want to prove not just do we do these, not just do we do this. We take pleasure in it. We take pleasure in doing this. When I say our appetite changed since the fall, it changed. What should be grotesque and suspect to us and we should shun away, we have an appetite for it. We have an appetite for it. Verse 27. Who's the last one? Was it Micah, Jeremy, or Red Lottie? 27, please.
And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their bodies one toward another, men with men, looking that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which is meet.
So we, the male gender, leave what? The natural use of the woman, that. You see, our appetite changed when it comes to sexuality. Holding the truth and unrighteousness. And not just that, we take what? We have pleasure. We take pleasure in that. What pleases man versus what pleases God. How much do God take pleasure in this eye? None at all, right? Verse 28, Mike, please.
And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient.
Verse 20 says, we did not like to retain God in our knowledge. Now, once again, what I don't want us to forget about, this verse 32 says, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death. Look at the end of verse 32 with me. Not only do the same, but have pleasure in them. Come on, see. Have pleasure in them that do them. What is it to have pleasure? What define the word pleasure.
Self-gratifying,
absolutely. Anyone else, add on to that, please. But absolutely, self-gratifying. Pleasure. Mm-hmm. Once you gratify yourself, please, over that, it does produce some type of excitement of happiness, right?
Satisfaction,
absolutely. It's to fulfill one's desires, to fulfill one's expectations, to fulfill one's needs or demands of a person, whether it's something to do with the externalness or even the mind, to give full contentment to. You know, once you fully get satisfied, you're sort of content with a great meal, finally a purchase in a home, whatever the case is. It brings some sense of satisfaction, of contentment, like, yes, yes. To be convinced, listen, to be convinced to provide relief in absence of doubt. I say again, to be convinced. In a little while, we're going to look at what pleases God. What pleases God? What causes, what fulfills God's desires? What causes God to be content with, keep in mind, the salvation being provided for all. Salvation being free for all. We never want to forget that this is what pleases us, holding the truth and unrighteousness. So basically, we know that the opposite is going to be what pleases God, to hold the truth and righteousness. Amen? Now, the reality of that Romans lets us know, there's no self-help for us. We can't produce what will satisfy and what was satisfied, please God, and cause for him to be content with anything that we can do on our accord. Amen? This is the big deal. This is the big deal. In doing this, I want this board to be our mind. I want this board to be our mind. Now, in these corners, I want to fill my mind with some understanding that can help me be at peace. Because when me and you, when we share this information to someone who is unsaved, a defense go up. A defense go up because their understanding of what is wrong for God to do, they're going to defend. It's wrong for God to say, I hold the truth and unrighteousness. It's wrong for God to say everybody born after Adam is now living in his condemnation. It's absolutely wrong for God to do that. And if me and you are not careful, we got to remember that God takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked. But we want to fill up in the corner of this study. Every study I do, private or with us as a group, is certain verses I need to have locked in my mind to justify my way for reason. Is anyone in agreement with me? I need some verses to lock in my mind. Romans chapter 12. For us to be effective ambassadors for Christ, one of the number one things that once we're saved, you know, our renewed mind, let's read verse 2, Romans 12 and 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. If we leave here, 5 minutes after we leave here, someone knocks on our door once we get home and asks, will you share the gospel with me that God gave to Paul? This is what they're asking you at your front door. You share with them. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and he was buried and rose again on the third day according to the scriptures. And they believe. Are they saved? Yes, and they believe. Yes, they are saved. They never picked up a Bible before. How much do they know about God and God being all just, all long-suffering, and all full of righteousness at that time? So, nothing. So, I had to recognize, I had to learn how to think for myself and the unsaved individual that I'm so excited about the truth that I learned that once they are saved, now I have to train them how to view God that God explained how he should be viewed in his word. Okay, so we understand that I have to renew my mind, right? Okay. I want you to go with me to Revelation chapter 21. Follow along, and I'm asking that we do this fast. Revelation 21, it's just certain things that I always want to keep in mind concerning God. Revelation 21, and I'm looking for just an absolute truth concerning who he is. Looking at verse 6. And it reads, and he said unto me, it is done. The new heaven and new earth have now came down. This is done. The thousand years are even done at this time in Revelation 21. And now it's new heaven, new earth time. And God is manifesting and making some things known about who he is. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is a thirst of the fountain of water of life freely. God said he is what? Let's get another definition about what that even is. We know it's the beginning and the end, but now I want you to turn to Isaiah 46 with me. And believe me, this is very relevant to the study today. Isaiah 46. Second Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 lets us know what? All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for what? Doctrine. That means some teaching.
to some teaching, profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction, and righteousness. We need, from the moment that you and I became saved, now we got to fill our mind with Scripture to instruct us, to teach us about some doctrine concerning God and Himself. I got some reproof. He's going to reprove, He's going to correct my way of thinking. Guess about who? About Him. About how I see how I think or I thought He treated mankind. What was once unfair. I started to see the long-suffering of God like I never saw before. I started to see the justness of God like I never saw before. I started to see what He takes pleasure in versus what I took pleasure in. There's some correction. There's some reproof going on. Look at Isaiah 46, verse 9 and 10. Isaiah 46, verse 9 and 10. And we're just looking about attributes concerning God, okay? Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me. Listen. Declaring the end from where? The beginning. And from the ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, I will do all my pleasure. I will do all my pleasure. So we also want to put in up in this corner, Isaiah 46. And you will see why that's so relevant very soon. Declaring the end from the beginning, then you go see He will do all His pleasure. You know that's another synonym for the word please, right? Pleasure, please. We really want to find out in His Word, God reveals to us what He has no pleasure in, but what He does take pleasure in. And it soothes and it corrects my mind as I receive the Word of God rightly divided, and He started to tell me things that He has pleasure in. Versus what I take pleasure in. Amen? Amen? Okay. Does God know all the ways of man? Does God know what's going to happen to you a year from now, 10 years from now?
Yeah.
Let's go to Job chapter 34. Just we want to get this in the way. We really need to get this in the way. Job 34, we're going to read verse 21. Because Revelation 21 verse 6 said He was Alpha and Omega, right? Beginning and end. Isaiah chapter 46 said that He knows the end from the beginning. Meaning, He knows what's going to happen before it even happens. Amen? 34:21, and it reads, Job 34:21, concerning God, for His eyes are upon the ways of man, and He seeth, someone help me out with that word after seeth, all His goings. Now, this is important for me to know, because once again, in Romans, it's an awesome parallel account. Romans chapter 1 is an awesome parallel account of the first couple chapters of the book of Genesis. Now, chapter 3 in Genesis, what happened to man? The fall of man happened. So now we are corrupt in what should please us. We are corrupt when it comes to holding on to the truth of God and doing what we ought and what we should do by God. We are also corrupt in what God and what we believe God view is of doing something right. I want to fill up this last corner right here. Now go to Genesis chapter 6. How do you think God felt about us when we fell? Adam and Eve. When Adam and Eve fell, how do you think inwardly God felt? The Scriptures lets us know. But inwardly, we'll see on some, I told you so. Or do you think it grieved them? It grieved them. Now, this is important for me to understand, because if I don't think it grieved them, I can start seeing God taking pleasure in pouring His wrath out. Pleasure in condemnation. Pleasure in punishment. Pleasure in fire, fire, breath, fire this, fire that. No pleasure. No pleasure in this. no pleasure in this. But if we're not careful, we start to maybe reason with the way other people view how they think God takes awesome pleasure in destroying wicked people, which we all are. But we're going to see what He does take pleasure in. Genesis chapter 6. Let's start at verse 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. How do you think God felt about that? Heard of it. Verse 6. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it what? Grieved him at his heart. Now, what me and you want to remember, what we want to know, and what we don't want to forget, God is Alpha and Omega, right? Beginning and end, right? Declaring the end from the beginning. Did that catch him off guard? It didn't catch him off guard. Now, this is why this is important. It did not catch him off guard, and yet he knew what we would do. This proves how long-suffering he is for his will to be done. Come with me to Genesis chapter 2. Verse 16, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Okay. You see that command. Verse chapter 3, verse 6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant, another synonym for what? Please, pleasure. Though that was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took up the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did what? There's the appetite change right there. There's the change in appetite from that moment on when you start to see from that moment on. Look at verse 7. And the eyes of them were both open, and they knew they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. From that moment on, we go hide from God now. Look at verse 8. And they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife did what? Hid themselves. And the presence of the Lord God, from the presence of the Lord God among them in the trees of the garden. The moment we fell, we was holding the truth in unrighteousness. From the moment we fell, he who could help us, he who always desired to help us, we're doing what from him? We're hiding. And as we fail, as we grow into this gross protest of really raging war against God, what pleases man is us holding the truth and unrighteousness to so many degrees of just some of the things which we see through the lust of our own heart. We change the truth of God into a lie. Man left the natural use of the woman. In verse 28, we simply do not and did not like to retain God in our knowledge, which is why proof that you now are saved, understand how to study the Word of God, you desire, it pleases you to retain God in your where? In your knowledge, in your mind. You want to put things here to do what? Know that what pleases God, as Philippians 2 and 13 lets us know, you start to take pleasure. You understand, for it's God who willeth in you both to will and to do his good work. His good pleasure. But now, this is totally the opposite of what the unsaved or those in Romans chapter 1, the position that they're in. Back to Romans 1. What's the driving force when you, with the first chapter of Romans, as we read verses 28 to verse 32. What's the driving force? Verse 32 lets us know and sums it up. Who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. If this was a courtroom, this is time for you to stand up and say, object, object, object. No, I don't. No, I, yes, you do. Yes, we do. Did you hear this? He's not just saying that we do things that's worthy of death. We take pleasure in them that do the same. What's the proof? Our need for salvation should be obvious. 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 This is God stating to us our case against Him. This is what you take pleasure in. Mankind? This is what we take pleasure in. Let's look at some of these attributes. We take pleasure in unrighteousness. What is unrighteousness? All wrong, every which way wrong, just working to do things wrong. Against God, we take pleasure in. Fornication. Come on, we can go back and forth. We can go back and forth. This is talking about our Adamic nature. In Adam, all die. Why in Adam, all die? Because in Adam, all have this nature that's dead in sin. A nature that's dead in sin, there is no self-help book for you to make you dead to sin. This is a big deal. This is a big deal right here. Fornication is idolatry. Infidelity, the opposite of faithfulness. We take pleasure in not being faithful to not just spouses, but we take pleasure in not being faithful to just mankind, friends, not being faithful to. I know you gave me the truth. I know you made it known unto me. And guess what? I'm hiding from you now within this garden. Come on. Do we agree with what God declares concerning mankind's condition outside of Him? We agree. When we agree, guess what is taking place when we really understand and agree. The renewed mind, we start to really know. You really do know the end from the beginning, God. You really do know all our ways, Job 34:21. And it really does grieve you that we take no pleasure in holding your truth and righteousness. But now we go, you want to reveal to us what pleases you. And this is a big deal. The renewed mind, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, all scripture given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine. You want to be taught your history. You want to know the history of mankind. You want to know the truth about it. There's so many books out there. Well, the flood never really occurred. And if you believe Adam and Eve, you're on a slippery slope of going nowhere if you believe that story in the early chapters of Genesis. This is what the world tells us today. But us, we buy into it. We believe it. We know it to be true. And we try to convince others, oh, it was a real account. It was a real accounting. We really displeased God when we did that. Let's look at some more characteristics. Wickedness. Now I'm looking at verse 29, right? Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness. What is wickedness? Amen? Any departure from that which is good. Falling away to something evil. I won't go over them all. How about full of envy? Envy is more dangerous than even being jealous of someone. This is what we're full of. We're full of this. Haters of God. Not just atheists can be a haters of God, but any rebellion of God and His righteousness. People who just believe, I believe in God. I do believe in God. But you just keep that over there with you. Keep that over there with you. I don't want to hear none of it. Serious. Hater of God. Hater of God. Proud. What is it to be proud? That was the first sin of the devil, right? I will ascend. I will be like the Most High. First sin, that's just proud. Haughty, amen? Boasters. It says we're inventors of evil things. Wicked imaginations produce wicked inventions. There's a lot of wicked inventions in the world today. That's all because people have wicked imaginations. Stuff that's really not funny and human. We see gross stuff funny today. This is serious. Like, and this is what really interests me. I'm interested in a God who will school me about me. A God who I know cannot lie. You cannot lie, God. Tell me about myself. I don't want this person telling me. I don't want to tell myself about me. But God says, I will. And hopefully, you're going to recognize your need for salvation. I'm not degrading you. I'm telling you the truth about you. And we live in a world today that what? They don't want to hear that. What does the world do today? It tells you how great you are. It tells you you have more power living in you than you realize. Although you don't believe there's a God. You don't care that there's a God. You don't believe in sin. You got more power in you than you realize. This is the world holding the truth in unrighteousness, which is why they are worthy of death. And not just are we aware of it, people buy books on that. It's a billion-dollar business in a place called the church. We don't like to throw names out there. Joel Osteen. You go to his church, you know how much conviction you're going to get about the wages of sin? None. You're getting none. You're going to leave there great every time you go there. We take pleasure in boasting in ourselves. We take pleasure. We take pleasure in this. We take pleasure in those that do these things. Let's see what God does not take pleasure in. Come with me to Ezekiel chapter 18, please. And I know that it's an Old Testament book, but we want to recognize and we want to see, does God take pleasure, is taking pleasure in even destroying the wicked, something that he does? Ezekiel chapter 18, read verse 23. 18 and 23 reads, have I any pleasure, listen to how it is worded, have I any pleasure at all that the wicked should die, saith the Lord God, and not that he should return from his ways and live? This is what God really desired, that even in time past, under the law program, when it says, and not that he return from his ways and live, return to my law, Israel. Keep my law. Why? Because the beginning of the verse, have I any pleasure in at all in that the wicked should die? Go to the last verse in the same chapter, verse 32. The verses between then, God is pleading with Israel to just turn back to his ways and his law. But verse 32 says, for I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth, save the Lord God, wherefore turn ye yourselves and live ye. I don't take any pleasure in the death of even the wicked. How many people think the God of the Old Testament takes pleasure in his fire, in his fury, and just being a God of condemnation and punishment? Many people who hold Bible say, you want to see God's wrath and his fury? Read the Old Testament. See how he handled Israel. I have no pleasure, says God. Chapter 33 of Ezekiel, please. No pleasure in the death of the wicked. We go read verse 11. Ezekiel 33 and 11. And it reads, say unto them as I live. God is telling Ezekiel, you tell Israel this. Say unto them as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no what? I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his ways and live. Turn ye from your ways, for why will ye die, O house of Israel? Why is God pleading? He's a God who can't lie. He got to keep his word. If they don't keep his law, what's coming their way? Death, punishment, wrath, condemnation. There's very few parents today that really mean what they say to their children. But when you really, really mean that if they do what you told them 100+ times, they're going to get in trouble for, you know what you start to do, hoping that they really heed you? You almost start to beg them, please don't do that. Please don't do what I told you. If you do this, if you really mean what you say as a parent, and you know you go keep your word about the trouble they're going to get in, you almost plead with them not to do what you know is going to get them in trouble. Am I right? If you're really a parent of your word, and God, who being a God who can't lie, wrath, judgment, and punishment will be theirs if they stay in their wicked ways. But he's telling them, I have no pleasure in destroying you in your wickedness. But I what? Have to. You know the one thing that parents usually always say, this is going to hurt me more than it's going to hurt you. You know why? Because I'm going to keep my word. It ain't going to hurt you if you don't keep your word. It's going to hurt your word. Ain't nobody going to get hurt. You just say whatever you said. You ain't going to keep your word, Daddy. You ain't going to keep your word, Mama. See, that's what we got to remember when we study the word of God. When we talk about his wrath, his punishment. When he will fulfill it. It's because he can't lie. He put it out there. So since you know that, 2 Corinthians lets us know, we know the terror of the Lord. So now we persuade men. We're trying to persuade individuals, believe that Christ died for your sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried and rose again on the third day according to the scriptures. Why? Because we know wrath, punishment, condemnation, and a lake of fire is theirs if they die dead in sin because they're in Adam and not dead to sin because they're not in Christ. We want them in Christ to be dead to sin. But if they are in Adam, and dead in sin, is the lake of fire theirs? God is a God who can't lie. He can't lie. So now we're persuaded by the reality that he will keep his word. That he will keep his word. Amen. I know Israel loved to hear this. Turn to Luke chapter 12. Turn to Luke chapter 12. And as a reminder, one of the things that we take pleasure in Romans chapter 1 as it comes to a close, it says, murderers, without natural affection, unmerciful. This is mankind. We take pleasure in being unmerciful. God is long-suffering. We really want to be convinced by this because I don't know about you, but that moves me. That moves me. Luke chapter 12. Let's see some things that God does take pleasure in. Concerning the prophecy program, we see in Luke chapter 12, reading starting at verse 31, Christ says to the little flock, starting at verse 31. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. They're concerned about external things. You know, the well-being, food, clothing. But verse 32 says, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good what? Pleasure to give you the kingdom. This is one of the things that God took pleasure in. Guess what? Fulfilling his promises is what he takes pleasure in. Fulfilling his promises to give you the kingdom. To give you the kingdom. So we want to write this down. That was Luke 12 and 32, right? And the pleasure was to give the little flock the kingdom. Anybody, is there a verse in 1 Corinthians that give you an idea of what I'm going right now? 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Talk to me. That's how the Holy Ghost teach. comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Letting us see the spiritual side of being in Adam, what we take pleasure in, but now we want to know what God takes pleasure in, what Christ takes pleasure in. And if we do it the way the Holy Ghost will teach us how to do it, we compare. We prove why we are. We agree. We agree with God and His Word. We want to be done. We believe the verses, right? We give reason why we are worthy of death because we got the scriptures that we agree with. We read them. We studied them. We see the Genesis account. Yeah. Yeah, we are. But thank you, Lord, that now you're starting to show us some things that you do take pleasure in. You take pleasure in the little flock receiving the kingdom. Let's see something else that God takes pleasure in. Turn with me. Let me go to the right order of scriptures. Come to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, please. Does God take pleasure in self-help books that tell us how our self-righteousness can save us? To tell us that once we hand out in this cold weather enough sandwiches and shovel enough people out and provide some space heaters, that's all he was waiting for. That's all. Is God telling us that? Does that please him for the sake of our eternal life? No, that's not the self-help that will produce eternal life. It's not. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, let's start reading at verse 20. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. What verse is that parallel cross-reference with? Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Okay. 21. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It what? It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. When we offer someone salvation, we are preaching to them what the Word of God says to the unsaved world and those who in disbelief, the foolishness of God. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. What did they do? They changed the truth of God into a lie. Right now, 9 times out of 10, when we tell somebody what can save them, they see it as saved, foolish. But it did what with God? It pleased God by the foolishness of the preaching, of preaching to save them that believe. That excites us. That's exciting. Never mind us. It's exciting to God. That pleased God. That pleases God. That brings Him pleasure. That brings Him gratification, that brings some satisfaction. That pleases God.
Was that 21?
Preaching. Stop preaching to me. Stop preaching to me. This pleases God. And we understand that this is the preaching of the what? It's the preaching of the cross. We understand that. Come with me. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 1. But you can even see why in Romans chapter 1, the invisible things that are clearly seen, mankind disagreed with and didn't hold the truth in righteousness but in unrighteousness. So now we turn and we try to share doctrine with them and they still go do what? Change the truth of that into a lie in some way or another for those who do not believe. What they do, I don't believe because this. I don't believe because that. Okay, well, you're not going to buy this as truth. No, I'm not. I buy that as truth. I don't buy what you just read to me in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 through 4, as my means for salvation today, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. We see the parallel? We see the parallel? It's important for us to know what God takes pleasure in. It's important for us to know today, in 2015, what man takes pleasure in concerning salvation. Ephesians chapter 5. Let's start at verse 4. No, let's start at verse 3. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. I'm sorry, I said chapter 5 at first. Please forgive me. Let's go to chapter 1. Thank you for your patience with me. Ephesians chapter 1, let's start at verse 3. I wanted to start at verse 5 in chapter 1. I'm glad you guys cut that. Verse 3 reads, "Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love." Listen close to verse 5. "Having predestined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will." Who is this that God is really always taking pleasure in? Say it. Say, this is the key. This is what God takes pleasure in. Even the preaching of the cross is concerning what Jesus did. That Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. And hear me, if no one else in this room or if anyone in this room is pleased by that, or if they're not, that's who is pleased by it. Come on. That ought to excite all of us because we know what pleases God. And guess what? One of the number one things that we can do whenever we're in love with anyone is to know what pleases them. But even some of the things that pleases them, we got to sometimes watch out for because we're not perfect. Some of the things that please us ought not please us, but everything that pleases God should please us. You know what pleases God. Is that exciting? You know what pleases God. But we want to add, we know Jesus Christ. But now this sort of, now we can look back in time past books. And I'm still speaking, and I'm including Matthew, Mark, Luke, John with that. When the dove descended, when John the Baptist baptized Christ. And the dove descended, and a voice opened from heaven and said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." This was always, Christ is always, will be always the thing that got the person, the works, the sacrifice that God is well pleased with. This why Jack is accepted in the beloved. Because God is well pleased with who the beloved is. Christ. Let's look at a couple more. Go to verse 6. "To the praise of the glory of" what? "His grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved." Verse 2. Verse 7. Let's drop some things down concerning Christ. "In whom we have." Come on. We had just some skeleton. Now we're about to put some meat on the skeleton. Let's close it up. Redemption. Okay, redemption through his what? Through his blood. God takes pleasure in this. God is pleased with this. This is what propitiation is. That satisfying payment, that satisfying sacrifice, what God is really content with and have absolute gratification with. That's the sacrifice that I don't care how many bulls, goats, and rams that they sacrificed in Old Testament time was never sufficient. It was never sufficient. This is the sufficient sacrifice. Seven, in whom we have redemption through his blood.
What's in his blood?
Come on. Paul says that he glory in the what? He glory in the cross of Christ.
This is what Paul was glory. Paul was glorying in the same thing that, guess what? God is.
It even gets more beautiful. Concerning everything we're reading in these verses is concerning Christ. Look at verse 8. Wherein he hath abounded toward us, you members of the body of Christ. Listen. He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Something else you're about to find out that God is pleased with, that he takes pleasure in. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his what? Good pleasure, wherein, what good pleasure which he hath purposed in himself. Did you catch that? God is pleased with making known unto us in this dispensation of the grace of God his will. His will that was kept secret before the world began. God, what pleases you? Kept this secret hidden before the world began, and now I want Paul to write it down and tell everybody, this is what pleases me, making known my will to you, not having you ignorant of what God was always up to. See what I was always up to. I am so pleased. I take so much delight in revealing to you the mystery of my will. Is that exciting? Is that exciting? Romans 16:25, Paul says, now to him who is of power to establish you to my gospel in the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began. Hear that? Now to him who is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began. God is pleased with now revealing what Moses had no idea of. What Jeremiah, what Ezekiel, what Isaiah, what the 12 who walked with Christ had no idea of. It's pleasing for God to reveal that to you today. For Romans 2, Philemon to be today what God is so pleased to reveal to us. Are we excited about that? Does that bring us pleasure? Do we relish and cherish it? Let's get ready to bring it to a close. But let's go to Colossians. Colossians chapter 1. Are we pleased with the person of Christ? Are we pleased with it? And this is my thing. If God pleased with it, if God is pleased with it, it pleases me. Because in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, let me know that I have the mind of. Okay. Colossians chapter 1. Let's start at. Let's start at verse 17. Talking concerning Christ. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. It pleased God the Father that in him all the fullness of the Godhead should dwell. And now, the inspired word of God calls us the body of Christ. I don't know if it can get any more personal. I don't know if it can get any more personal than that. You got helpmeets. You got those who will rule and reign with him. Thinking about the prophecy program. But the mystery program, we the body. We his joints. Can it get any closer than that? I mean, that's something that should bring us the utmost pleasure. That's what sound doctrine does for us. You don't got to turn there. I'm going to close it out. This is why Paul can say in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 10, therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. When we recognize and understand who is residing in us, why the Holy Spirit is so powerful that it can fill us into the day of redemption, Lord, help me that I get to this point that I can take pleasure in infirmities. But not so much to boast in my infirmities, but when I am weak, then am I strong. The Christ that liveth in me, who loved me and gave himself for me. This is what God takes pleasure in. We have to, and I encourage for us, to constantly evaluate, am I, as a member of the body of Christ, taking pleasure with what God takes pleasure in? And it is in the person of Jesus Christ. Sometimes, hear me good, we get caught up in the activities that church people do. Hear me good. Get caught up in the activities and start to take pleasure in things that we ought take pleasure and pride doing, giving God glory, especially when we come and open up His Word. But let's always remember priority one. Let's take pleasure in what God takes pleasure in. The person, the sacrifice, the finished work of Jesus Christ. Amen. Glory to God. Comments or questions?